Now, we spoke about our electricity network, and we spoke about the need to upgrade it as one of, I suppose, the major infrastructural needs that we'll have to modernise if we are to switch to more and more renewable generated electricity and try and bring down the overall cost of energy. And that is, I suppose, an infrastructure project that we're going to have to invest in and get done. And our next guest on the programme was speaking about that in his column in the Irish Times yesterday, and he asked a question as to why our capacity to deliver infrastructure projects, he feels, is worse now than it was in the 19th century. And the columnist I'm talking about is Senator Michael McDougall. Michael, good morning to you and thanks for joining us in the programme.
Good morning, Gerry.
You were referencing a project that was in the 19th century, 1847 to be exact, and saying they got it done a lot more efficiently.
Yeah, well, I mean, the funny thing is that in 1844, the then Westminster Parliament gave its assent to the construction of the Dublin-Cork Railway, and it was completed by 1847 from Dublin to Blackpool outside Cork, right? And that was effectively three years it was built. And it involved, you know, acquiring land. It involved hundreds and hundreds, thousands of labourers using, you know, very rudimentary equipment to build a two-line track from Dublin to Cork. Now, that could be done in 3 years then. And nearly every project that you see being talked about now as being urgent or whatever is taking multiples of that even to get off the ground. And the example I gave was one which probably is people in Kerry would find a bit of a joke, but nonetheless, Dublin is running out of water.
Yeah.
And a lot of the water is leaking through the water mains in Dublin. But 13 years ago, in 2011, Dublin City Council was the authority for water supply in the Dublin area. And it came up with a plan to pipe 350 million litres a day to Dublin from the Shannon. Now, that sounds like an awful lot, but I mean, the average Olympics swimming pool ranges between 250 and 400 million litres. So we're talking about filling an Olympic swimming pool every day from the Shannon to Dublin with a water main, okay? And then Irish Water was established, Uisgeirean as it's called, and in 2016 it came up with its own plan to do it, and it decided that it would abstract water in from the Shannon just near at Partee near Ardna Crusher and bring it, pump it to Tipperary and then let it go by gravity to Dublin on a pipeline to be constructed. And it said at that time that that would cost between 700 million and 900 million euros, that pipeline. So that's less than a billion. And nothing happened. And the funny thing is that in June of this year, the government eventually decided that it was approving the scheme and gave Uisgeirean the go-ahead to go on with the project. They haven't got planning permission for it yet. And it's now cost, instead of less than a billion, it's now estimated in present-day prices to cost between 4.5 and 6 billion euros. And the plan is to build it, or to complete it, if they get planning permission, in 5 years' time, which will be, by 2030. So a project which was envisaged as necessary because Dublin might run out of water in 15 years ago is now being gone ahead with at 5 to 6 times the original cost, and after 15 years' delay. And we haven't got even to the planning process yet.
And that's just before you even go to planning The approval of money, the possible hold-ups, the sort of things I was talking about, we're talking about our electricity network. If you take an example of another project, the North-South Interconnector, something desperately needed, and we're now going to have to do an even bigger project in terms of transforming our electricity grid, you see similar problems. Planning, court cases...
On the North-South Interconnector, you know, a whole lot of people said that there was a danger to health from overhead lines, and they wanted it all buried at massive cost. And that was held up by judicial review proceedings in the High Court for years. You know, this is the kind of thing that happens in our system today.
Yeah.
And you look now, well, in fairness to the ESB, they are good. Once they decide to do something, they do it, and they have the power to do it. They have powers to go onto land and to do whatever they have to do. And generally speaking, they do what they want to do. But we have a system now which throws obstacles in the way of virtually everything. And we have a system of approvals which and processes which delays everything. I'll give you another example. In today's papers, I read that... The wind farms off the east coast of Ireland, in the Irish Sea, the turbine farms, that they are now going to, some of them are now ready to go to seek planning permission from on board Planola. Now, we in the last number of years, established two things in respect of wind farm, and Eamon Ryan, the energy minister, brought in a system whereby, first of all, there has to be a licensing authority, which is a state agency called MARA, M-A-R-A.
Yeah.
And then it deals with the licensing of such wind farms. But when you get the license, then you have to go to on board Planola. Now, on board Planola had no expertise at all in relation to marine ecological environmental issues, and they've had to recruit a vast amount of people as a second stage to examine the projects which are already through the license portal, if I may use that, and God only knows how long that will be. And you know, everything we do is surrounded by obstacles, delays, administrative incapacity. And why is it, if Dublin does need that water, for instance, that it's taken 10 years for the Cabinet to approve that project?
And that is the question. So what's the answer as to how you go around it? How do you get past this? How do you move past this? Are we, and you mentioned in 1840s, as we say, the Whig government didn't have any problems with planning or Bord Pleanála or people's property rights or labour laws or any of the other myriad things that we have to consider when doing these projects now.
Well, I mean, there are property issues involved, but I mean, we also just to add to the generally disastrous picture, the Law Reform Commission looked at the whole process of compulsory purchase of land for public projects. And it came out with a report a year ago saying how, you know, we have to change the law in relation to compulsory purchase. And you'd be surprised, you know, I met a senior member of Dublin City Council, Mary Friel, a very experienced councillor. She's retired now. And in the course of a conversation about a different project, she told me that CPO in Dublin usually takes 15 years. Now, that's a pretty shocking state of affairs. You know, if you want to widen a road or if you want to purchase property for a scheme, that Dublin City Council, she said, usually it takes about 15 years for it to go through all of the procedures involved, and that also entails going to the courts to get confirmation of compulsory purchase orders. You know, this is daft. We live in a world where infrastructure projects need to be.
So you're suggesting that we have a system, a CPO system that's modernised, that we can say if it's given the stamp of approval by a government, say, look, this is vital, and our network, our water systems, this is vital for our people, our economy, the security sometimes of the country. We can knock on your door and say, listen, we're buying your land, and you don't really have much of a choice in it because this has been deemed as a national priority for the greater public good.
Exactly, exactly. That's what we have to do, and we have to speed
up. But how do we avoid that then ending up in the High Court? And someone like you arguing the case and others arguing the case and it being tied up legally?
Well, I'll tell you exactly how you can do it. I mean, going back to the Victorian period when they were building the railways in Ireland, there was a system whereby promoters of a railway project, the shareholders of the Great Southern Railway, or whatever the company was at the time, came forward with a scheme. They put it before the Parliament. It was examined. They had to set out the route it was going to take. It got parliamentary approval under blanket legislation for the building of railways in the then United Kingdom, and that's how it was done. And there were not huge delays, and people, I mean, obviously in the 1840s most of the land was owned by landlords and the
land.
but
individuals didn't have the strong property rights that they now have under our constitution.
Well, I mean, are the property rights under our constitution as imagined by people? I don't think so. I think if you read the constitution, you'll find that the common good, everything, all property rights are subject to...
Are trumped by the common good.
Well, no, they're not trumped completely in that if they take your land off you or they put a pylon on your land, you're entitled to compensation.
Yeah.
But there has to be a very simple system for doing that instead of the immensely complicated procedures that we have at the moment, including appointment of arbitrators and things like that to determine the value of land.
And otherwise, we're going to be stuck in the morass that we saw with the North-South Interconnector and other projects that take 20 years even to get off the ground, to get anywhere near our planning system, let alone being constructed and finished.
Exactly. I mean, if you look at continental countries, I mean, many of your listeners, Jerry, will have been to Spain and Portugal and to France, and you know their high-speed train networks, their motorway projects. Even in a country like Portugal, which is not the wealthiest in the world, they're built much faster than in Ireland, and the reason is that we have put in place a series of laws, a series of procedures, which are almost designed to produce delay. And you'd almost despair. I'll give you another example. When I was Minister for Justice, we decided that we would replace Mountjoy with a prison outside the city centre in Dublin.
Use
the Mountjoy campus for redevelopment of North Inner City, which needed redevelopment very badly then and still does. We went through a process. I had no CPO rights, by the way. I could not purchase any land compulsorily anywhere. So we had to go through a very cumbersome procedure of advertising for land. And in the end, we wanted to build it somewhere where there were few enough people around it who would object to it. So we went to North County Dublin eventually, and after a few hiccups, we identified Thornton Hall, and the Office of Public Works advertised, and it was tendered, and for €30 million, which is an awful lot of money for 150 acres. And we sold Shangana Castle in South Dublin, which was slightly further away from the GPO. We sold it to for €30 million, and I got permission from the Cabinet to invest that in a new campus for a new prison. Dunleary Rathdown County Council have sat on the land which they purchased from the Department of Justice for 15 years and eventually handed it over to the Land Development Agency recently. They just did nothing with it for 15 years.
Another example of things that take too long to deliver infrastructure that's needed for the country.
The prison in Thornton Hall hasn't been built, and in yesterday's papers we see that the prisons are massively overcrowded. People are being let out on temporary release. We have a population which has grown, you know, from 4.5 million to over 5.3 or 5.4 million. It's growing very rapidly. We need much better prisons. We can't have Victorian places.
Yeah, our system is out of step. Senator Michael McDowell, we're going to have to leave it there. I know you're in Kerry this weekend. You'll be there on Saturday giving the Daniel O'Connell lecture, so enjoy your trip to the Kingdom.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Well, indeed. Senator Michael McDowell there, who is an independent member of Shannadarran, making the argument. He's giving the Daniel O'Connell lecture at 2:30 in Carter Savina's part of the Daniel O'Connell Summer School this weekend. What do you make of his argument? Tomorrow, Friday. It starts tomorrow and runs into Saturday, of course. He's giving the lecture at 2:30 p.m. tomorrow. So there you go. What do you make of his argument?